You're listening to Thriving Church Leadership, a church board development podcast, a dialogue to encourage church leaders to rise to the noble task of church leadership. Through a series of conversations with godly, experienced, and insightful individuals, we've dived deep into this very unique space of leadership, specifically formal church leadership, such as pastors, elders, deacons, trustees, and board leadership as a whole within the church. I'm Brett Elder, and your co-host for today's episode.
And I'm Brian Walker, president of the Grace Gospel Fellowship, your other co-host for today.
And Brian, today is a monumental day, or at least a notable day, because I think in our long history, the last several episodes we've done of this podcast, we've never had a pastor as a guest.
Right.
Talk to us about that.
So in our podcast today, we have invited Pastor Jim Shamaria, who is the pastor of Celebration Bible Church in Granville, Michigan. And the content we have today is going to really be exciting to have the opportunity to speak with a pastor about it. So, Pastor Jim, thank you for joining us.
Glad to break that glass ceiling.
We thought it was a little reckless, a little radical to include in church board development discussions a pastor, but we thought, well, we'll be brave.
A real-life pastor.
We're going to get there. You know, one of the neat things about having Pastor Jim here with us is just the relationship that Jim and I share. Jim serves as our vice chair of the Grace Gospel Fellowship National Council. And as president of the Grace Gospel Fellowship, I get to serve alongside Pastor Jim in his role. I know Jim, you're a busy man who has a lot on the fork, but I'm grateful for your willingness to serve in this national church leadership ministry. And so thank you. Thanks for being part of that.
Yeah, I'm glad to. It's the GGF is kind of my home base when it comes to my theology and my church family. And so being able to be a part of the board is, it's a good thing.
Mm-hmm. And one of the things that that has been a blessing to, I think, not only the ministry of Celebration Bible Church, but of the Grace Gospel Fellowship at the national level, is your commitment to being at Celebration Bible Church. How many years have you been there now as lead pastor?
I've been the senior pastor since 2013, but I was there in 2008, started as an associate pastor. So it's been a little over 14 years, if my maths are correct.
I think we're close to that, yeah. And you've made it through some interesting seasons, COVID and pastoral changes. And so thank you for your ministry and commitment to Celebration Bible Church.
Yeah. At some point, I want to unpack a little bit more of that Grace Gospel Fellowship involvement and future and that type of thing with you. But today, I really want to hone in on the local church. And board development within the local church. I don't know where board development fit in your category of favorite things to do when you entered the pulpit and the pastorate, but
it's the thing I think about every Sunday as I'm preaching.
Is it? Yeah. Is it?
Drives your homiletics.
Yeah. Well, I know it can be riveting, so I know it can be all-consuming, but I am curious, even before we go there, tell us a little bit about how Celebration Church works.
Yeah, so we are a board-led church. We have we call it a council, kind of a loose description, but we have two main boards of our elders and our trustees, kind of the classic designation of trustees caring for the physical needs of the congregation in the building, the elders tasked with the spiritual care of the congregation. As a pastor at Celebration, I am an equal board member. So I function with the same role of any other board member. My votes are the same. My presence is the same. Obviously, I'm the one who is able to focus my whole life on the work of the church because it's my job. It's my vocation. So functionally, maybe it's a little different, but practically, as far as from a leadership and organizational perspective, I function as an elder.
So 14 years.
Yeah.
Was it shocking, difficult, hard, easy? to step into the role of a pastor and engage with a board?
Mm. I grew up as a pastor's son. And so my whole life, my dad, the other Jim Shamaria, started working at Berean Bible Church in Seattle in 1984, which was the year I was born. And he just retired from that same church in 2021. So my whole life, I was kind of immersed in the context of pastoral life in the local church. And so I saw a lot of those dynamics kind of play out as I grew up in a very natural way. I think there's, you talk to pastors' kids and they all have very different experiences. And some have an experience of get me out of here as fast as I can and I never want to darken the halls of a church again. My experience was not that. And I think it was because my dad modeled, I think, a really healthy relationship between his role as a family, his vocational identity as a pastor. All of those things, I think, played out in a really healthy way in my household. And so I loved kind of being in a family in which church was almost like a member of our family, right? Like being part of a local church was just part of the DNA of who we were and what we did. And so I think different, as a pastor's kid, it's different than any other kid who grows up in the church, because I also see kind of the guts a little bit.
Look under the hood a little bit?
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And saw kind of how my dad worked through some of that stuff, challenging things at times, but also the joy of just being part of a congregation, serving a congregation as a pastor. So all that to say, when I stepped into my first pastoral role, which turned out to be my only pastoral role, at Celebration, it was a pretty easy transition for me, because that had just been my life. And I recognize that that's kind of a privilege that I have, that not every pastor stepping into their first role kind of knows what they're getting into or knows what this is all about. So there was a really natural kind of fit for me. Now, Celebration is different than Berean Bible Church in Seattle as far as how the board works and the relationship of the pastor and the board. So there were things to kind of get used to of how is this different than what I had seen growing up. But it was not a shock for me. It was a kind of a beautiful, comfortable kind of just putting on this new garment of this is now the role and this is my life here at Celebration.
You know, hey, Jim, when you think of the moving and transitioning into a lead pastor role and the necessary relationship with a church board, you know, as you think of backward in that process, that journey, is there anything that sticks out to you in your experience that was really an effective method of connecting better with that process of governance, going from maybe not seeing under the hood to being under the hood with that group of guys?
Yeah, I think having a real relationship with all of the members of my board, not in a functional capacity, but just as brothers in Christ, I'm a pastor to these guys as well as co-board members with them. And so, you know, I know these guys. I know what's going on in their lives. I know their families. I know their struggles. I know a little bit about their home life, a lot of bit about their home life. And I think to me that allows us to function much more naturally. I've never felt like a board meeting at Celebration is, all right, business time, you know, here's my business partners. Let's talk about the business of the church. It's always just been, here are members of Celebration. We're all serving in this capacity as elders. And so having that relational thing, I can read body language. I know what's going on in their lives, which may be affecting why they're saying these things. I know how they grew up and why they're having an adverse reaction to this thing being said or this thing being done. And so I'm able to kind of see them as people and personal people with names and stories, which I think really helps us serve well together as elders in that way. So that I think is a really important step for me.
Personal relationship.
To first be their pastor, yeah, and to have that personal connection, and not just think of them as board members. Mm-hmm. That's been really, really significant and important, I think, in my experience.
So in the nonprofit world, so there's a different world nonprofit ministries live in than church ministries. So, but in the nonprofit ministry world or nonprofit organizational world, there exists a unique paradigm, at the risk of oversimplifying, the two different types of paradigm of church. I mean, I'm sorry, of board leader relationship. And even at the academic level, they acknowledge this reality of these two different leadership paradigms. One is they would call strong leader, weak board. And one they would call weak leader, strong board. And that's not necessarily an indication of weakness or strength necessarily. It's more an indication of where are decisions being made? How are decisions being made? Where is the conclusive decision created and made? And so you can see that's, you know, if you have a real strong leader, they might be creating the motions, creating the energy behind the decision process. And then the board comes alongside and says, okay, we're along with you. Or it could be opposite in certain situations where there's a very strong board. This is pretty quite common in like health systems. There's a very strong board and the leader is brought on board to carry out the goals of the board. And so as you think of even like your experience in working alongside your board and your elder and your deacon boards, your trustees, your council in particular, what do you see that? Does that fit? Does the paradigm that operates in that nonprofit world fit at all in the paradigm that you see in your own church or other churches? Healthy or unhealthy?
Yeah, I think that that's a human dynamic, right? Mm-hmm. There's quite often going to be personalities that are going to naturally want to drive and push. If a whole group is made up of those personalities, I think everyone finds it's not going to work very well. Mm-hmm. And so there's a kind of a natural dance to like figure out, all right, how this is going to work. And I do think that that's maybe from my experience, though we are all co-elders, like I was saying earlier, I have the gift of space in my life to spend a lot of time and energy thinking about church, thinking about the people in the church, thinking about the congregation, which I know my board members don't have because they're working jobs, and many of them are really busy. And so even in the introduction, when you use the word, I'm a busy guy, busy pastor, I don't like to use that language because I like to think of, I have the space that I need, to think about church and to think about the life of the ministry. And so because of that, in a board meeting, I think a lot of times maybe there will be that in a discussion, a look towards, okay, Jim, what is your thoughts on this? Not because my thoughts are more important, but just because I have the space to think more particularly about church life.
So you're saying people just might naturally defer to that reality.
Yeah, I think so. And I think that can be dangerous for a pastor mm-hmm. if they have a tendency to misuse that trust, mm-hmm. right? And to see that trust that a board has in you as an opportunity to manipulate and maneuver things. But if the pastor is striving to be humble and faithful to the calling, where none of us are perfect at that. We all have our flaws. It can work well, I think, where the pastor can have a bit of a stronger voice, but they always have to have an ear to the congregation and not this idea, well, God speaks through me only, you know, and I'm the only one who has time to think about this. So therefore, we all have, hopefully a healthy board has many people who are in a good relationship with the Lord where they can be thinking and speaking clearly on those sorts of things. But I do think that is, at least in my, all I can talk about is my experience. In my experience, I do feel like there is that kind of, idea of what's your thoughts, Jim? Because we'd love to know. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you seem like a humble guy to me. I know you a little bit. But it can't go without notice that you do have the power to direct things, and even in unhealthy ways. Mm-hmm. Is there a tension there sometimes for you personally?
Yeah, and I think there always should be that tension, because as soon as I forget that people are looking kind of towards me for some of those bigger decisions is when I have the opportunity to not take the role of the pastor seriously. And that's something that I really value, is recognizing that this isn't just a job that has flexible hours, you know, but this is a calling to shepherd the lives of this particular congregation that God has put in front of me. And these lives all, you know, whether it's the 20 lives in your church or the 120 or 220 or whatever, those are all lives that have deep significance and deep stories, and lives that are playing out in the presence of God. And my role as pastor and shepherd is to make sure we're all aware of that, make sure we're all tuned into that. And so, yeah, that tension is certainly there, that if,
I'm glad it is there.
Yeah.
Because I see even the most kind-hearted, well-intended individuals, right? The adage, power tends to corrupt. Absolute power corrupts. That's absolutely. Right. And it's easy to have absolute power when you've got board members who have limited time, limited energy. This week wasn't great for them, and they're stepping into the boardroom, and they're looking to you to help guide the decision, right? Or paint the picture of what the decision should be, paint the potential paths we could go, and then recommend a path. Like, you're doing it all, right?
Yeah. And I think that limited time, is a reality. But again, just always coming back to, what is my role? What is my purpose as a pastor? It's not, hopefully, to grow this church, full stop. You know, it's not to even run this church, but it's to shepherd the lives of the people. And that's always going to be a clutch for humility, right? It's always going to pull me back if I'm remembering my focus is these particular people, not this organization and the potential that it has, right? To always be coming back to the people will slow me down enough, I think, in a good way.
Sure.
So this idea of a vacuum, what fills the vacuum, and you know, one of the ministries we have with Grace Gospel Fellowship is written right kind of in our driving words: healthy pastor, healthy church, healthy board, healthy church, and this idea of helping, let's just say, to the pastor and the board, helping our pastor and our boards become their healthiest to operate, and in a church where it's not the case, where the board maybe isn't at its operating in its premium space, and they may have an incomplete understanding of what their role is in that ministry. It leaves that, to your point, Brett, this idea that, well, there's a vacuum there, and somebody needs to step in that. And if I'm a board member who looks at my pastor and says, you know, I'm not the pastor, I'm not going to make that decision, you know, instead of being that collaborative ministry effort, it leaves that vacuum of leadership then. And I think, to your point, Brett, that idea of, well, then who's going to step in there? Who's going to make that decision? And then you can see kind of how the process would allow you, Jim, to step in that spot. No one else is there maybe today, so I'm going to do it, and I'm going to do it tomorrow, and I'm going to do it next month, and I'm going to do it next year. Suddenly the board builds a habit of looking to you for singular decision-making. You know, what are some safeguards you could, you know, recommend to pastors who might have been given that maybe that authority, that implicit authority that says the pastor makes the decision, and that pastor sees himself in that spot where I'm the only guy making decisions here. What is there something you could think of where you might help a pastor say, you know, that here's something you can do to move away from that, whether it's board development or pastor discipline. You know, I'm not going to, is there anything in mind that you could, what the, maybe you've done or you could see maybe being helpful to a pastor?
Yeah, I suppose the most direct way to do that is to speak directly to the board and say, what do you guys think about this? What direction do you think would be good for us to go together? Using language of cooperation, using language of plurality, even just that simple thing of using pronouns that say, where do we, how do we, rather than I and me, I think pulls it back into a place where there is a sense of the board is feeling empowered to do the work of the shepherds, the work of the elders. And that's a simple thing, right? Language though is really powerful, even in its simplest forms. And so I think just being direct and throwing ideas back to the board, putting them on the table and showing yourself to truly be interested in listening to what they say, because it's one thing to say, what do you guys think? And then for them to tell you and say, well, that's great, but this is what we're going to do. Mm-hmm. If you're going to do that, you really have to be listening and trusting that the Holy Spirit can speak through and will speak through all of those. Maybe even the most hesitant member of that board can speak powerfully into a situation. And so coming back to that, always being humble, always being committed to the relations of even the relationship that you have on the board, of trusting those people and trusting that they are significant parts of this, mm-hmm. this leadership. I think that's a simple, but an important kind of safeguard for that.
Mm-hmm. So you're working with other leaders. Mm-hmm. You are leading together, helping to move the church forward, whatever that means in that context. What percentage, in your experience, what percentage of the weight falls on your shoulders to equip those co-leaders for the tasks they have in front of them?
That maybe, again, comes down to that idea of I'm the one with the time, right, to do this sort of thing. And so I think of maybe a really concrete example. We do our annual elder retreat. Which I hope most churches have an opportunity, whether it's even just a couple hours once a, you know, outside of the regular board meeting, maybe they have an annual hour or two where they say, we're just going to talk about some, whether it's like foundational who we are as people or kind of bigger picture stuff of what is God doing here in this congregation. But when we do our elder retreats, quite often our board chairman will connect with me and say, do you have any ideas of where we might want to go or some discussions we might want to have? And I have the opportunity then to say, well, here's some things. And quite often it's stuff that I've been reading that has been kind of making me think differently about church ministry or just calling me back to something foundational. And so I will then throw that to our board chair. And then together we'll kind of collaboratively put something together that we can then work through at an elder retreat. And so there is, again, a little bit more of that weight falling on me to equip those board members. But it's something that I'm happy to do because I find such joy in being an elder. I want to unlock that same sort of joy in everyone else that serves alongside me, that we can really serve these people in a way that is life-giving. Mm-hmm.
So you've been a pastor, same church for 14 years, mm-hmm. and continuity, relationship comes out of that. Mm-hmm. Board members are fairly transient. Mm-hmm. I don't know what, do you have a official rotation of board members?
We do not.
Oh, very interesting.
Yeah, we don't have term limits. It's something we've talked about, and we are not opposed to it in concept, but there's just a lot of moving parts to put that into play. But no, we don't have term limits. And so, yeah, some of the board members predate me. Others came on when I was an associate pastor. maybe some came on when I was when I've been the senior pastor. Yeah, so that continuity piece I think is unique at Celebration because we do have guys that have been there for two decades, which could be bad, but in our case, it's I think has been a good, important thing.
Well, let's go down both paths.
Yeah,
talk to me about the good, and then. And then let us know a little bit about the bad without naming names. You'd
have to bleep those out. Wink, just wink, and we'll pick it up.
The good is, in most things in life, I think especially things in ministry, time is good. The longer you're able to invest in particular people or places, the deeper you're able to put your roots, the more significant those relationships are going to be, the more meaningful those relationships are going to be. And that's, I think, really true in church life. That's why I really, for me, it's a strong value. I'll follow the Lord when he leads me to the next place. But I'm very happy that he hasn't led me anywhere else for the last 14 years because I've been able to put those roots down. And I think on a board level, the longer you're able to be together, the more the church kind of grows around you and you grow around the church. I think of those, you ever see those like power lines that like somehow a tree branch has mm-hmm. grown along the power line and they mm-hmm. cut the branch down, but there's like that stump like encasing a
hanging from the yeah, wire.
Uh-huh. I like to be the stump hanging from a wire.
Name for your next book. Analogy. Uh-huh. Yeah.
But I think that that's probably the biggest good of longevity on a board is there is this sense of these people are Celebration Bible Church, right? They're not just members of the board who are serving here, but like they are the DNA of our church. And we know one another well enough where I can read an eye movement, you know, I can read an eyebrow raising and I know exactly what that guy means because we've been doing this together for 10 years. And so there's that subtlety of communication. There's an understanding of who we are as a church, who we've always been as a church, and what's kind of shaped our culture there. So I think that relational and kind of baked in CBC identity, Celebration Bible Church identity, is a really good thing when it comes to that.
It seems to me if you head down that path in terms of governance structure and no term limits, prayerful selection
has
got to be crucial.
Yeah.
Crucial.
Right. Right. It, and I also think, though, the reality is there are some people who are unfit to serve on a board, right? And we have qualification lists in Scripture to let us know pretty clearly mm-hmm. who those people are. But outside of those disqualifications, I do think that pretty much everybody can be a good member of a board if they are understood, you know? And that's, again, going back to that relational thing where, like, I know why this guy's being cranky about this thing. And it's not just because he's a crank. Mm-hmm. He has something that is causing him to be in opposition to this. And he cares deeply about this aspect of church life or this aspect of spirituality that is causing him to get riled up about this. And so being able to read what's behind it rather than just the surface kind of overreaction is so important that even somebody who may on the surface look like that person shouldn't be fit, isn't fit to serve on a board, when you get to know who they are, I think they can. So obviously prayerful consideration, following those qualifications that we get in the pastoral epistles especially is huge. Mm-hmm. But a lot of it is just learning to know the people and hear why they're doing what they're doing.
Toward that point, as you think of, you know, now you've been leading that ministry as lead pastor for going into 10 years, and the idea of future board member development, mm-hmm. mentoring, identification, getting them into a place of understanding the ministry. Do you have something formal that you've done or maybe beginning to do about, you know, as board members begin to maybe consider moving off the board, do you have a developmental structure there for a young incoming board member, or maybe not necessarily young, just a new board member? Do you have anything there?
I thought that was your job.
The recruiting cycle. Yeah. Yeah.
We don't. Mm. But we would love to. And that is something I'm excited about, kind of this GGF 2.0, Healthy Boards, Healthy Churches. You've been to Celebration, and there's great openness on our board to kind of think about some developmental stuff. And always from, and I'm always hearing that stuff from a pastoral point and wanting to make sure to reground us back into this congregation and these people that are here. But we don't have anything formal set up. And part of the longevity thing is I don't have to think about that as much. We don't have to think about that as much because the last board member came on, I don't know, 6 years ago or so. Hmm. So it's not like we're constantly bringing new members on and therefore having to think, how do we make sure that we're all on the same page? Hmm. It's just kind of naturally happening over time. But if we were to ever move to a term limit, that would greatly change the way that we think about those sorts of things.
It does. I can tell you experientially, it greatly changes.
It's almost a constant thought.
Yeah.
And I don't want to focus on the negative, but have you had an experience where you've had to remove someone from the board or it for a season or whatever the case might be? Because clearly there are people for whom, even if it's not a moral failure, may not be contributing to the betterment of the church.
Mm-hmm. We have never, since I've been there, we've never had to ask anyone to step down from the board. But there have been instances where through conversations or through circumstances that has become a choice that someone has made. And I think that at least all that I can remember, all of those have been positive. People have stepped away, not angry, but stepped away knowing that it was the right thing for them to do at that particular moment. So again, maybe it is because we have, in my opinion, the right people on that board that we haven't had to have those conversations. But going back to your point, like prayerful selection and, and knowing the people is big, and being open within the board. Our biggest point of tension, I think, and many churches could probably connect to this, was during 2020 and just that. I think that's all we need to say is that.
No, let's rehash all that. Can we do that?
I love talking and thinking about that. It's a great year in my life, 2 years. But even during that time where there was maybe elevated tension that hadn't shown itself before, our ability to talk through those things together allowed us to navigate through that fairly unscathed. I wouldn't say completely, but as healthy as we could have. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we haven't had to have ask, but I think a lot of that comes down to we know each other and we can talk through things on a more casual level, which lead to the right decisions being made.
You know, our prayer is that this podcast is listened to by our pastors around the country, and as you can imagine, there is just a significantly wide variety of different kinds of churches and different formats of boards and different health conditions of our pastors, and as you think of maybe that pastor who is hurting in his relationship with his board, and maybe either feeling like they're on their own and they're not getting, you know, maybe effective help from the leaders on the board. You know, I think I heard someone say they once said it feels like they're pushing a school bus up a hill, which is almost anyone can feel what that might, the analogy of that. To that pastor, Jim, what word of encouragement would you give them about connecting with their board, engaging their board? I know it feels maybe behind you because your board is no longer in that space and you've gotten them into there's a real nice collaboration. But what might you help that board member if they're like at that front step, first step of growth in their board?
I think I would encourage them to begin looking at their board members as people, not as board members. These are people with families and situations. These are people who love the church that they're a part of. Otherwise, they wouldn't be there. They wouldn't step onto it. And even if that love comes out as manipulation, or there's a reason that they're there. And learning to listen and hear and be present with them as people first, and allowing yourself to be known by them. Falling back, and maybe we're getting into broken record territory here, but falling back on that relationship between you and a board member, I think is so critical. These are not tools for you to use to accomplish your goal with the church. The church is not a tool for you to use to accomplish your goal with your life. These are people. And so go to Rainbow Grill. That's a West Michigan reference. If you're here, go to your local diner and have breakfast, and don't talk about church. Just talk about life. Get a cup of coffee or do something. Just be present with them. Start to see them as the people that they are. And I truly believe that when you start to do that and people start to feel like you actually care about them and you're not just trying to use them, and the other way around, that they start to realize that you are not a roadblock to, but you're all trying to do the same thing, which is allow God's presence to be felt within that congregation. You can't replace that. If you don't have that, you're always going to run into trouble. And so it's a simple piece of advice, but go get a piece of apple pie at a diner and a cup of coffee and spend a few hours talking and see. That might seem a little folksy and probably won't solve all of your problems, but maybe over the course of a year or two. And that's another thing too, is like we need to get rid of this idea of we need to accomplish this thing by this certain amount of time, or else whatever, you know. Just trust God to do things as he's going to do it on his timeline, which is generally going to be slower than our timeline, and just slow it down, be patient, be present, just pastor the church, you know, pastor those people. Don't worry about anything besides that, and trust that God will make those directions clear.
You know, being Brian and I, not being pastors, and you being a pastor, it's a good word to hear. I think we even come in to some of our questions with you with the assumption that boards are just addressing the tyranny of the urgent, right? Like that's, you just got to get her done, and the decision needed to be made yesterday. But ultimately, I appreciate your posture of just saying, you know what? It's okay to make plans, but you just need to be open to the Lord's timing. And first and foremost, we need to deal with relationship. You know, I'm reminded of the fact that one of the challenges that I hear in the church frequently, probably because it's not modeled at the leadership level, is I hear, I don't know why the board made that decision. Right? I don't like, and it's almost like a union management kind of, right?
Tension.
And I'm thinking to myself, well, you know Jim, you know his heart, you know Bill, you know, you just go through the room like, no, we've been working hard at developing relationships here. And so this ethereal entity that makes these decisions is not against you. They're not even specifically there to be for you personally. Mm-hmm. They're here to glorify God and usher you into an experience that's rich, right?
And hopefully as a pastor, you share that same idea of you're not there for you. You're not there for your plans to be laid out. You're there to follow what God is doing in the church, right? To answer God as he's already speaking in the congregation.
Absolutely.
So, you know, As I have the pleasure of traveling around the country and we talk about healthy pastor, healthy board, healthy church, there's a question that sometimes is asked but often is just wondered is why? What's why be healthy? And that's a relatively easy question. It's not meant to be simple. It's a lot of work. So why is it worth it? Why is it worth putting that work into seeking intentionally to be healthier? And I've been to Celebration Bible Church, and it there's a sweet spirit there, and I know the ministry, and I know members of your council, and so as you look kind of backward now, and you look at why invest all that time, why have all that pie, and have those moments and invest in those relationships, and you look at the health of Celebration. I'm not implying that Celebration is a model of health. That's not my point, but in your world it is. It's a healthy ministry, and I know that. What do you think, Jim, is just, why put the effort into it as a pastor to help healthy happen?
Because the people in my church are significant, you know, and their lives are important. And there's nothing more beautiful than seeing people become more and more aware of how God is already at work in their lives, in the junk and in the glory, right? And to me, the only way you can do that is if you as a pastor are aware of that calling and committed to that calling of the people that are there. And to me, that is worth it. When I was younger, and maybe we're all like this when we're younger as pastors, we have these ideas of grandeur of building a platform and being able to speak in a way that I have these things that need to be said, and why wouldn't God want more and more people to hear them, you know? But as I've thankfully come down from that and become content with this, you know, content with these people that God brings into this place. That's why I think being a healthy pastor matters, is because my congregation matters. And it's also, it brings me joy, you know, like I can't, it's hard for me to envision doing anything other than pastoring a local church, in the capacity that I do, you know, even pastoring a church where there's, you know, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people, and I can only preach or I can only do this. But it's hard for me to envision a life where I'm not a pastor of a small congregation, because it brings me joy. And I love what I do. It makes me content. And so maybe that's selfish, but I guess that's one reason that I like being part of a healthy church, is because it's fun.
Jim, thanks for sharing your heart with us. Some of your insights with us.
Yeah.
I'm sure we could go on for quite some time here. I think, Brian, that this dangerous experiment of bringing a pastor onto the podcast
is
successful in us, that we might do that again.
Cautiously stepping forward.
Thanks for breaking that.
Yeah.
Breaking that.
Yeah, glad to.
So I want to remind or tell our listeners that Pastor Jim Shamaria and Matt Loverin have a podcast of their own called
The Pastoral Calling Podcast.
Yeah.
What's the focus of that?
Talking about the joys and struggles of ministering in small churches. Mm. And so we are sometimes active, sometimes defunct. I think we're now in the middle there. We have, you know, 30 something episodes, but we haven't put a new one out for a few months, but we will get back on that wagon sometime soon. But yeah, the idea is just talking with pastors about what is life like in your church, and how does that maybe speak to all of our situations. So yeah.
Podcast can be found in all the same usual suspects.
Yeah, places. It's on Apple. It's on Spotify maybe. I don't know. You could Google it and find it. Google will give you all the answers you need.
It's a great insight. Great idea. Awesome. Jim, thanks for your time today.
Thank you, buddy.
Really
thank
appreciate it.
Yeah, glad to be here.
Until we have a chance to chat again together, we'll look forward to sort of unpacking how it is we can be better leaders within our churches. In Jesus', Jesus' name.
I like that. Yeah. I like that. Right. Let it all be a prayer. All right.